Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Then he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to talk to us tonight about the high calling of God. The high calling of God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Some of the deadliest words, got your attention? Some of the deadliest words in church work are status quo. What is the status quo? It's the existing condition or the current state of affairs. The state of things the way they are as opposed to the way they could be. Much study has been made about how human beings prefer just about anything over change. We love the status quo. Business as usual. The same old, same old. The way things are. The existing framework. It's comfortable. It's safe. But for a church, it's the kiss of death. The third chapter of Philippians, where we read from tonight, here the Apostle Paul, it's his urgent plea to Christians and to churches to continually forge ahead, to put aside business as usual, to press toward the prize of our high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's interesting that Paul would write this, because most of us would look at Paul and where he was spiritually, and we think, well, surely he was pretty near perfect. Surely he had learned just about everything that there was to learn. After all that he had accomplished, what more could he possibly be reaching for? But he assures us that this was not so. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He said, I have not yet reached the goal. I have not yet reached perfection, but he said, I press on to take hold of what Jesus Christ has for me. Amen. I want to encourage somebody here tonight. God wants you to press on. God wants you to push on. Amen. The enemy wants you to quit. The enemy wants you to turn back. But God is saying, press on. There's a prize. There's a calling. There's something you haven't attained yet. Oh, come on, church. I believe that there's more ahead. I believe there's more in store for this church and this city. Amen. It's the high calling of God. Too many times Christians who've been in the church for more than a few days, we can get to thinking that we've already attained, that we know all there is to know, that we've done all there is to do, and we've reached perfection, and we lose the mindset of Paul that caused him to press. What does it mean to press? It means to push. To resist the status quo, to not accept business as usual, and to declare that there's more and I've got to reach for more. Some 25 years ago, as a young preacher, I can remember talking with my grandfather, about preaching and building sermons. And at that time, he was somewhere in his 70s. He'd been preaching for at least 50 years. And no telling how many sermons he'd preached in that time. Not only was he a pastor, and he traveled to speak in various churches across North America and the world, but he also had a radio ministry for many years. So it's safe to say that he preached at least several times a week for over 50 years at that point. And I can remember him talking about how he had not even begun to preach all there was in the Bible. He was talking about how there was so much more that he hadn't ever touched on. There was always something fresh and new from the Word of God. Oh, I've come to tell somebody, every time we might get to thinking that we know a little bit and we've kind of arrived and we've learned everything there is to know, there's so much more. There's so much more. Contrast that with some who might think, well, I can just skip church and I can refuse to go to Sunday school or come to midweek services. And Pastor, I've heard it all, they say. Oh, I want to tell you what, even the Apostle Paul, this man who had actually seen Jesus Christ, he testified in Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't got there yet," he says. "But this one thing I do, forgetting everything else, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press, I push, I reach toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." It doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian, there is more. It doesn't matter how many years we've been coming to church, we've still got more to learn. Every one of us still need to grow. We all have something to reach for, to become more like Jesus, something to press toward. I tell you, that spirit of Paul, it ought to light a fire inside us here tonight. After all that experience, after all that God had showed him and used him for, Paul was still on fire. He was still reaching. He was still pushing. While others were content to stay put in Jerusalem, here was Paul. Paul took the gospel to Cyprus, then to Turkey, then to Greece, then to Rome. He had a drive within him that kept growing, that it kept expanding and kept reaching for more. He went through missionary partners one after one. They couldn't keep pace. They couldn't match his schedule. His passion and his hunger, it left them behind. How are we doing in light of this attitude that Paul had? Personally, think about it. Are we expanding? Are we growing? Or have we given in to the status quo? Is the passion still burning within us to press on for more? Or have we found a comfortable place where we're content to relax and take it easy? If we're still on this earth, God is not finished with us yet. Come on, there's more to do. There's more to do. Just around this church, there's more to do. There's Bible studies to teach. There's plenty of people to help disciple. There's Sunday school classes that need a teacher. We need more ushers. We need more greeters. We need more people to visit those who can't get out of their homes. There's landscaping. There's cleaning. There's painting. There's so much more. Brother Eston, it's really a shame that more people don't know how to play musical instruments. It really is. Oh, but it's work to learn and to practice and to put in the time. But there's a need. There's a need. Can anybody hear the call? You're meant to be a musician? Come on, we need more piano players. We need more guitarists. We need more drummers. We need a drummer tonight. It's a shame we don't have more people to teach Bible studies. Oh, but I get nervous. What if they ask me a question I don't know the answer to? Is it going to take a night out of my week? Because, you know, I just don't want to give up another night. If we're comfortable with business as usual, we'll never do it. But can anybody hear the call tonight? Can anybody hear the call of God? So we need more Sunday school teachers. We need more nursery workers. I have a friend that pastors a church that's much larger than our church, and he said they still don't have enough Sunday school teachers and enough nursery workers. So I think every church has that experience. But people say, well, I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm too this, or I'm too that, and too many are sitting on the pews and not serving anywhere where there's a need. Can anyone hear the call? Brother Hal, I heard the lawn team needs help again this year. Something about that grass, it just keeps coming around. We think we get a little break. Things get cold. We get rid of the leaves. And we're like, we can relax. But then, bam, here's spring. Oh, but that means I'll have to give up one Saturday a month. Not even a whole Saturday, but just a few hours. But if the yard work isn't done, what does that say to people that drive up onto our campus? Can anyone hear the call? Don't ignore it. Don't turn away from it. We want God to use us. We want to be everything we can be. But then when God opens a door, we're like, oh, but no, that doesn't just fit what is comfortable for me. And as a church, it's easy to accept the status quo. It's comfortable to settle into business as usual. Well, you know, we've got a few people coming, and we're able to meet the monthly budget, and we can have kids ministry events and take our students to youth convention, and our connect groups have a few get-togethers here and there, and so we become comfortable. We accept things the way that they are instead of the way they could be. We give up the mighty potential that God has put before us because it takes a lot less effort to just kind of ride what's already been achieved. And as a pastor, I want to tell you, it feels like sometimes it just feels like I'm always pushing. We've got to do more. We've got to grow. We've got to disciple. We've got to develop more leaders. We need more church services. We need more preaching points. We need more prayer, more worship, more giving. Sometimes pushing gets old. I can remember somebody that came to me a few years ago and was talking to me about the church that they had come from, another state, another time, and all that, and they were just so excited about what was happening here, and they wanted to go back to that church and help them get to where we are. And I said, but hey, sometimes you don't realize every day, every week since I've been here as pastor, we've been pushing, we've been praying, we've been pressing, we've been believing God for more. Come on, we have resisted the status quo. We have turned away from business as usual. You don't get here just by accident. It doesn't just happen without any effort. But oh, come on, somebody, we're trying to get somewhere. God has a promise for this church. God has a promise for this city. There's revival, but it takes work. Sometimes pushing gets old. Sometimes I'd rather not push. It'd be a whole lot easier to just kind of coast a little while and take it easy. Oh, you know, we've got, you know, 130 or 150 that are coming here and there, and that's a comfortable amount. Let's just relax. Let's enjoy what God has done. But that doesn't consider the over 500,000 people in the Springfield-Branson area who have not received the gift of the Holy Ghost or been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What about them? What about them? Are we just going to let them go to hell without knowing the truth? Because it was easier and more comfortable to accept the status quo? No, no, we have a calling. We have a purpose. We have a great task that's set before us. It's the high calling of God. The Great Commission has not been completed. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's in the name of Jesus, if you didn't know. We've not done that yet. We've not gone and taught all nations and baptized everybody yet. There's still more work to do. Mark 16:16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to everyone. We've not done that yet. We've not done it even in our own neighborhoods, much less all the world. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why do we have this power? And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In our day, that's Springfield and then Greene County, Christian County, then the state of Missouri, our nation, and then the uttermost part of the world, the around the world. The Great Commission has still not yet been completed. We've got work to do. You heard Brother Poe's message a few weeks back. The world population is estimated to be 8.5 billion people. And such a small percentage of that are Pentecostal. And even less are oneness Pentecostals. And that's the same here in Springfield. Now, I don't know every church and how many people go, but out of a population of 170,000 people in Springfield, if all the oneness churches in Springfield got together and maybe there was 850 people, I don't know that it's that much. I think it's probably pushing it. But let's just say 850. Out of 170,000, that equals 0.5%. 0.5%. We've got some work to do. We've got some work to do. Why do we have revival? Some of you probably remember the days that revival wasn't just a Sunday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then they might take a Monday off so everybody could wash their clothes and all that kind of stuff and hit it again Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's what revival used to be. Half of y'all would probably leave the church if we tried to do that again. Hopefully not. Why are we having church on Sunday night? Why are we having church on Sunday? Why do we teach that people ought to come to Sunday services and midweek services and Sunday school, prayer meetings, times of fellowship? Because there's the kingdom of God, and then there's the kingdom of the God of this world, Satan's kingdom. And the only way the kingdom of God is going to grow and the kingdom of Satan is going to shrink is for people like you and me to stand in the gap. We've got to be on fire for God. We've got to be reaching into the flames of hell and pulling people to safety. There's no time to sit back and relax when the world around us is on fire. Can you hear the cries of souls today? Oh, people think they're fine. They don't know any better. They don't know there's another way. Many of them think that, well, just being a good person, that's enough. They don't realize they're going to hell. They're enjoying the things of the world. They're not looking to change, but their soul is crying out. Come on, somebody tonight. Can you hear that cry? Can you hear their cries over the roar of the flames of hell? The world is on fire, and we are the ones with what they need to help them. God has called us to this place for this time, this season, this area. He's called us for a purpose. We're called to reach our world. What an honor. What a privilege to be called of God for the greatest thing there is, winning souls. It's the high calling of God. Oh, that ought to move us just a little bit here tonight. We ought to do more than just sit back with our arms crossed and, oh, yeah, that's good preaching. There ought to be something that turns within us. There ought to be something that burns within our heart. I've got to reach somebody. I've got to tell somebody about this truth. I've got to realize people are going to hell and they need this gospel. I've got to share the love of Jesus with someone. Come on, we've got to be moved. We've got to be moved. We've got to be changed. There's got to be a burden that gets a hold of us. It's the high calling of God. It is not a cakewalk serving in the kingdom of God. It's hard work. One time, I had someone come talk to me about all the trauma they'd been through. And they'd been diagnosed with PTSD. And the more they talked about all the stuff that had happened in their life, the more I started to think about all the stuff I'd been through as a pastor. I don't share it with you all the time. Most of it, you'll never know. I don't tell it to my kids and my wife. But after all the trauma I'd experienced trying to grow the kingdom, people that had tried literally to destroy me, people who stated their whole purpose was to make it hard for me to stay and that I'd pack up my family and go somewhere else, and times the people would just stop by the office and drop a bomb on me. They were leaving the church, or they were mad about this or that, or they didn't believe the truth, or they'd found somewhere else where the grass was greener. I've never been accused of not preaching the Bible, ever. But I sure had plenty that got mad at me when I did preach the word. We're trying to get them to heaven. We're trying to save their kids. We're doing everything we can to keep their families together, and they get bent out of shape. Well, how could you preach all that stuff about what my kids are doing and what they're going through? And why'd you set this one down from leadership? And oh, I know they weren't living right, and they weren't faithful, and they weren't giving, and they weren't following holiness, but why do you just have to be so mean? And this guy, he was talking about his PTSD, and I'm thinking, I've got PTSD. Pastor's traumatic stress syndrome. I guess it's better if you can laugh about it, you know. People that they want to, you know, Pastor, can I meet with you? And I ask them, well, what's the subject? And they say, oh, it's good, nothing to worry about. Just wanted to visit with you. And then they drop that they found another church, and that pastor's been so welcoming to them, and they're leaving. Really? That's good? Makes you want to quit. Makes you want to give up. Makes you want to say, you know, with friends like that, who needs enemies? Why am I preaching like this on a Wednesday night? Because in the past few years, ever since COVID, there's been more people asking to step down from serving in ministry than ever before. And I get it. They're tired. They're overwhelmed. They're wore out. Ministry is hard. They don't want to be responsible for being to church early. So they can be an usher and a greeter. They don't want us to depend on them. Well, you know, I'd like to serve, but I just don't want you to have to depend on me because I'm going to be here and then I'm going to be there. They don't want to have to come to leadership meetings. They don't want to, they want to just coast. They want to take it easy. And I get you. It would feel nice to take it easy. They have these things called lazy rivers. And, you know, looking at my backyard, I think it's probably solid rock under about that much grass. But I wonder if I could just, if I could get a jackhammer and just go to work, if I could make a lazy river in the backyard and fill it up with water and get me an inner tube. And I don't drink Coke, but maybe lemonade. And just take it easy. It'd feel nice. But that's not what God has called us to do. I preached a little while back about the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Isaiah 54 and 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. How awesome that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us shall be condemned. This is our heritage. As long as we're the servants of the Lord. As long as we're serving, if we're under attack, it's no time to stop serving in ministry. If we're going through a struggle, it's no time to let up on what we're doing for God. If things are difficult right now, our protection is that we're a servant of the Lord. I want to tell you, the enemy wants you to quit, to give up, to stop pressing, to stop pushing, because he knows there's a prize ahead. He knows there's a reward for you. He knows that we've been called to do something great, and we've not attained it yet. And instead of looking forward with vision and faith at the miracles God has, the enemy wants us focused on the battle that's going on around us. He wants us distracted, looking at the trials and tribulations, the hell we're facing in our family, in our finances, in our health. He's trying to distract us from our purpose. He wants us thinking about all that everybody who's done us wrong and how much isn't fair, and we're a victim and all sorts of things. But the high calling of God, it calls us forward. Forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those people who did me wrong. Forgetting my frustrations. Forgetting how I'm overwhelmed. Forgetting all the problems and circumstances. Forgetting those things which are behind. Oh, and reaching forth onto what God has ahead. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I know it's a Wednesday night, but you think more of you would stand and say, amen, Pastor, preach it. I feel like every person in this place ought to stand up and say, Pastor, I've been there, but I realize God has something special for this church, and I'm not quitting, I'm not turning around, I'm not getting a bad spirit, I'm gonna keep serving, I'm gonna keep pressing forward, because God has a reward, there's a prize ahead, there's revival ahead. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you. Sometimes I wonder, am I doing a good job or not? Oh, Pastor, I want to come in on a Wednesday night and take it easy. It's not my job to let us take it easy. We got people to reach. We've got a church to grow. Come on. There's... It's a high calling. It's a high calling. God has called us to a high calling. He's called us to serve with excellence. Serving with excellence requires extra effort. And as a church, we've got to constantly fight off the temptation to invest minimal effort. The appeal of business as usual. The pull of the status quo. Where, well, we just kind of do the least we can. Sunday school teachers, it's good to have our Sunday school teachers, Wednesday night teachers in here. Kids are downstairs with kids' prayer, but Sunday school teachers, it would be easier. I understand. It'd be easier to not put in the time to study, to pray, to just not prepare, just kind of wing it. But we can't do that. We have a high calling. We have a high calling. But I've only got two or three in my class. But that's two or three that you have the opportunity to impact for eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ministry leaders, it'd be more comfortable to not serve, to not come to leadership meetings, to not have to grow, to not have to learn to be better leaders. But that's just not an option for us because we have a high calling. Praise team, it would certainly be easier to not have practices and not have to come early for church and not have to be there for early morning prayer. It would be a whole lot easier just kind of slide in a little late to church and not have to carry the weight of praise and worship in a service. But we're not going to do that because we have a high calling. Oh, precious saint of God, I know it would feel great to our flesh if we just kind of laid out of church all the time and stayed home every time we wanted to and didn't come to prayer meetings and didn't serve in any ministries and just kind of stayed at home. And you know, I'll watch online sometimes, maybe, you know, maybe I'll catch it later. I don't know, you know. But if we're going to answer the call of God on our life, it's just not possible to neglect his kingdom. Yes, it would be a lot less work to not have to clean the church, to not have to repair things when they break, to not pick up trash that's laying around, to not straighten the chairs and change the lights when they burn out. But those things are just not an option because we have a high calling and we're serving with excellence. And I want this to be a place where people come in and like, wow, this looks nice and things are organized and things are straight and things are clean and they smell good. If we're called to serve, don't just do the minimum to get by, but do it to the best of our ability. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. It's the high calling of God. It's more than our job. It's more than any hobby we'd have. It's more than education, more than making money, more than anything else in our life. What we do for the Lord is a high calling. This is the highest calling there is. Hallelujah. Church, I want to tell you, this is where it's at. This is where it's at. I've been pastoring for 20 years. I haven't been pastoring all that time to not know a little bit about what I'm talking about on this. I've seen families who've half-heartedly served God. And some of them are not a family today. I've seen people put their job before the kingdom. And somewhere along the way, they lost their job. But they'd lost a walk with God, too. I've seen parents who just kind of let the children decide if they wanted to come to church or not. Just let the kids make up their mind. Guess what those kids did when they grew up? They chose another way. And that's not to say that you can't do everything right and then kids just go crazy on their own. Kids have to grow up and make their own choices. But here's the deal. They don't even have a hope if we don't start them down the right path. And some of those families today, they've got grandchildren now that don't even know anything about the truth. Like I said, God forbid any of us, our kids be lost. And some of you, we're praying and believing. We're not accepting that they're going to be lost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But if you have followed the word of God, and you, if you have trained up that child in the way that they should go, then every time you go to prayer, you need to open the word of God to that scripture. And you need to lay your face on that and let your tears cover that page and say, God, you promised me if I would train them up in the way that they should go, that when they got old, they would not depart from it. Lord, I'm calling on you for a miracle. I'm calling on you to turn this around. I'm calling on you to make a way. God, save their soul, whatever it takes. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Quite a few years ago now, the Lord spoke to me about how we needed a church in Nixa. At that time, I don't know that we had anyone who lived in Nixa, but we started praying about it. And then we had one family that moved there, and we started prayer meetings in their home. And then others started coming from that area. And the door opened to start having services at the community center. And it's been a great training ground for ministry. People leading the services and playing instruments and singing and preaching that had never done so before. So we're making progress in that community. God's given us so many connections. It's amazing the doors that God's opening. He opened the door wide for us to just walk into that church facility. And I don't know if it was 6 or 8 months of rent-free. But is it easy? No. It's a sacrifice. Those of you that are involved, we can't go eat after the main service on Sunday. We've got to rush down to Nixa. It's a long day. It costs money. It takes our effort and time. It would be more pleasing to our flesh not to have to work so hard. To just go to one service and just call it a day. And go home, sit on the couch. But God hasn't called us to easy street. He's placed a high calling on our life. Oh, but Pastor, it's hard on my kids. I can think of a lot worse things for kids to be involved in than starting a church. What an awesome honor to be on the ground floor, joining together in faith, sacrificing. Maybe, just maybe, that call will get a hold of those kids' life. And one day they'll start a church somewhere else someday. And I believe that this church is going to grow. We're working on a plan right now to double. I believe that the church in Nixa is going to grow. Both churches, I believe, it's going to be so much that it's going to be two totally separate locations at some point. It's going to take work. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take sacrifice financially. But God has called us to do it, and He's going to make a way for it to come to pass. Would you stand with me here tonight? It's a high calling of God. You have a high calling. So many times we forget how important we are. Yes, God can use anybody, but God's called us. God's called us. And there's people that are depending on us. Sometimes I think people make decisions of whether or not they're going to be involved in ministry, or whether or not they're going to serve, or whether or not they're going to come to church services, or even change churches or whatever, without considering all of those people that they have an impact on. What about your kids? Oh, we're just going to go change churches. Well, what about your kids? How's that going to go? Is it a place that preaches the truth? Is it a place that where conviction is preached? Or do this, they just kind of tell them, well, do whatever you want to do. Sometimes we got to realize this high calling that is upon us. It's a special thing. You are special in the kingdom of God. Enough so that God said, I've got a great purpose, and I'm going to call you to something that's greater than anything in this world. It's a high calling of God to be everything He's called us to be. It's a high calling of God to reach our world. It's a high calling of God to serve with excellence. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What we're doing is not in vain. Oh, it may not be the success that we think it should be yet, but just keep being faithful. Just keep being steadfast. Where are the people that are unmovable? God, help us to raise up people in the church that are unmovable. Amen. I want to tell you, I want to give honor. We have some of our elders here tonight. I want to give honor to you for being unmovable. Being unmovable. Some of you young people and young adults, you need to look at some of these elders. They're here just about every service, unless they're sick or something bad going on, and they're faithful to prayer. They serve wherever they can. They may not have the energy to shout and run the aisles, but they're back there worshiping and singing and praising the Lord. And anytime there's people in the altar, here the elders come. They're going to pray with them. We need people like that that are unmovable. Hallelujah. Brethren, I count myself, not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. We've got to forget some stuff. Reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If it's only the same few who are always doing the pressing, we'll never get there. We'll accomplish some things, but we'll never get to all the blessings and rewards that God has if it's only just a few that do the pressing. But the more that join in, and the more strength that we have together, and the more unity, and the more people pressing, the more people pushing, the more momentum is built up, and the faster this thing gets going. And then the easier it is. Sometimes you got to sacrifice a little bit to get things going. You got to push. It's a lot of effort. You got to expend a lot of energy. But then as things get going, all of a sudden you start picking up momentum, and it's like, hey, yeah, we can do this. We can do this. There's a high calling of God. There's a high calling on every single person here today. The enemy wants us distracted. The enemy wants us to quit. The enemy wants us frustrated and all this other stuff. He wants our mind off the things of God and focused on one another and problems and personality differences and things that really don't matter. God, help us to answer the calling that He's placed upon us. Hallelujah. Come on, can you hear the call? Come on, can somebody hear the call tonight? Can somebody hear the call tonight? This is not just the call of an ordinary person. It's not even the call of your pastor. It's a call from heaven. It's a high calling. It's a great calling. It's an honorable calling. It's a privilege to be called. Don't let them just keep calling and you not answer. But would somebody answer that call right now? Whatever it is, Lord, here I am. My life is yours. I make a commitment to you right now, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll answer the calling you have for me. Oh, God, let your will be done in my life. Let your will be done in this church, Lord. Direct us, Lord, forward. Help us to push. Help us to press, Lord. I believe there's a prize. I believe there's a reward. Lord, I don't want to miss what you've got for us. But God, I'm going to press. I'm going to push. I'm going to reach to be everything you've called me to be.